Previously on No Reserves Radio.
Oh my God, Angelo, come on, have some self-respect. The Eagles can't hurt you if you don't constantly pander to them.
Here's the biggest indictment of Dame that I can say. Dame has been so like off this year that Ren went on live air and said Jalen Brunson deserved an all-star start over him.
You are now Angelo DiDeLulo.
Do you think it is possible that the management of the Memphis Grizzlies are just buying into the reckless youth movement and they got rid of the one person in the locker room that probably was telling Ja to knock it off?
Because he's taken advantage of me multiple times when I was younger. That sounded bad. Holy shit.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think you're correct in that assessment.
What's going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of No Reserves Radio. With me, as always, is Alex, and we have to make this one quick. Alex has people to see and things to do, or maybe people to do and things to see. But regardless, I just want to do a little sidebar and just talk about how disappointed I am in the Bengals again. Turns out the good Joe Burrow games that we've wasted is now two. I guess it doesn't matter how good Joe Burrow plays, as long as, you know, the defense wants to decide not to get any stops, literally. Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback of this class. You should have been drafting him above Caleb Williams and Anthony Richardson. Fuck you, Alex. And that is all.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Okay, so this was a very fast intro, I guess. Actually, not people to do or people to see, actually just like sleeping is probably the more correct answer there.
Jaden Daniels looked as good as Lamar Jackson.
I was gonna say that today. That I don't know. I feel like
the Washington Commanders haven't punted in two games.
They have not, and I believe he has an over 80% completion rate across the entirety of the season, so the three games.
I get
and
that
no
was
interceptions
a bit
yet.
Of an overreaction take, but literally the way he's playing now, he is playing like he is the quarterback you should have been drafting all along at the 101.
True, and he has the rushing upside as well, which, you know, it's always good for fantasy and whatnot.
Yep.
But just like overall, if you take the name off the shirt, his play style really looks a whole lot like Lamar. Just like the quick, I don't know, his mobility in the pocket, the way that he throws, the way that he sets his feet when he's running, to find
Trey
a quick
Lance
receiver. Yeah,
literally.
And like it's almost like literally some of his throws are just like the wrist, the flick on the wrist, where he just makes the throw up and looks so effortlessly. I mean, and he's poised as well. I mean, in that last drive versus you guys, the last drive that he had, if I'm not mistaken, the first down to Zach Ertz, that on fourth down, like that big of a mistake. Look, I was surprised by him. He looked great. So what do you think is wrong with your Bengals right now? Is it just the defense?
Defense is shitty, dude.
Is it just that? Because the offense looked okay, and Jamar got back into rhythm.
I told you once we have T. Higgins there. Although, Yoshivas.
Yeah, I believe that's
Yoshivas still having a predominant role after T came back was very interesting. He actually ended the game with more receptions and a touchdown catch, but I think T definitely opens up like the whole offense, because you can't just T in on Jamar Chase. Now you have to spread out the coverage for both of them, and then you still have Yoshivas, who's still he's a threat. So I think the offense is fine. Chase Brown looked better than this was a Chase Brown game. Chase Brown looked better than Zach Moss, even though Zach Moss got the touchdown. Can you admit that? Mm. Can you admit?
I can. I'm not a the biggest fan of either. But yeah, he looked a bit better on the receiving game as well. But still, it still looks like Zach Moss is the clear lead and the clear guy that they want to get the ball to.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying he looked better. Chase Brown looked better in this game. But
yeah, it feels like it's like a rotating door. One game it looks like one guy's better. The other game it looks like the other guy's better. Maybe it's just matchup. I don't know. It's probably just.
We've given up almost like 70 points in the last two games, which is just depressing as fuck.
I mean, it's not the best. And especially like last season, if I'm not mistaken, the defense was actually quite good for good stretches.
That was our bread and butter. Even against Kansas City, we fucking got two picks against Pat. So we just can't, the defense can't show up against anyone against Kansas City?
Like, I think part of the reason in this game was just bad play calls in general. I mean, you didn't really rush Jaden Daniels all that much, which is what you're supposed to do with a rookie, I guess. I mean, maybe that was it, but it's still pretty dumb to never like pressure the guy. You're sending four guys every time, or five guys every time, which is, I mean. The way that he was playing and the way that the Commanders offense was being ran didn't really give you any sort of chance. I mean, he was just sitting in the pocket and he was dicing you guys. He didn't really run all that much, which I thought would be part of the game plan there, was him and Brian Robinson just running all over you, because it seems like the defensive line isn't all that great versus the run. You gave up over 100 rushing yards to Ramondre. Then the game after, you gave up over 80, if I'm not mistaken, to Pacheco.
Before he went
down. Before he went down. And now this game, I was expecting you to give over 100 to the combination of Daniels and Brian Robinson. But no, like, although they did run quite a bit, the passing game was maybe the best they've looked all season. I don't know if it's due to the defense, because the defense looked better versus KC. But as you said, maybe you can just play defense against KC and you can play defense against the rest. So it's quite weird, but yeah, Jaden Daniels looked great. Are you afraid or concerned about your playoff chances there at 0-3 right now?
Not really, for the simple fact that the Browns look like the worst offense in the NFL, quite honestly, now that Bryce Young is no longer a starting quarterback. Maybe I'm crazy, but I still think this Steelers like win streak is voodoo magic. I still don't believe it. I think they're gonna fall back down to earth. And Baltimore had a slow start as well. So no, I do think there's a chance. Huh?
I was just saying Dito. I mean, we talked about it in the last episode, like, of how bad or how rough their end of the season schedule is for the Steelers. So
yeah. So no, I still think there's a chance. Is it like good to start 0-3? Hell no. But do I think they're like dead in the water? No, the offense is actually clicking. If we can figure out the defense, hopefully soon, we can beat a lot of teams. We just proved we can beat fucking Kansas City. If we can't find a way to win enough games to get into the playoffs, and I don't know. I might actually have a meltdown at the end of the season.
So this is not going great for Angelo right now, as you can see. he's not feeling it right now. He's going through the motions. He's going through it. But at the very least, I think some of the talk went away from you and went to the Jags fans, because thankfully for you, you had a doubleheader on Monday Night Football, and a certain Jaguars team played that game as well, or at least like it shows that they played the game.
I'm Jaguars not really sure. Played like you picked them to win that game.
Yeah, I mean, I told you there was no amount of money that you could have given me to pick Jacksonville in that spot. From the get go, it just felt like they had no gas, they had nothing really. I think there's a conversation here that we should have, that people aren't really all that happy about, or are not all that like
open to.
Okay, yeah, open to. But what is the worst contract right now? or which player deserved his contract less? Is it Trevor Lawrence or is it Daniel Jones? What's the difference between the two guys?
I mean, yeah.
Like, because the only thing looking at it that I see still think that...
it's Daniel Jones. I'm sorry. I can't say Trevor Lawrence looks like mobile, like running upside be damned. Trevor Lawrence is still a better thrower of the ball. The thing is, Daniel Jones is just peppering targets to two fucking people. And one of them just happens to be one of the best wide receivers in the NFL.
Okay, I get it. But the only thing, like, in their careers, basically, that Trevor Lawrence has over Daniel Jones is, like, a playoff win, which is should have, like, an asterisk next to it because of the... Now, and actually, like, Daniel Jones also has a playoff victory. People just don't really care about it. But, like, both of their playoff wins should have an asterisk to it. And I believe Trevor Lawrence made a Pro Bowl. I'm not sure if Daniel Jones did. But if you look at the stats, it's not at all that different in terms of the big ones, in terms of, like, passing yards per attempt, passing touchdowns. Actually, like, Daniel Jones is ahead of him in terms of passing touchdowns. Like, overall, they're all not all that different. And one of them is getting $270 million, and the other one is getting, like, $180. And one of them has actually won a game this year, and the offense doesn't look completely lethargic. Plus, I know that everyone wants to blame Press Taylor. They want to blame the OC. The play calling is terrible. But the last time I saw, and correct me if I'm wrong, Angelo, because I've only been watching this for 10 years. You've been watching it for longer than I have. Is it the OC that makes the QB throw interceptions to defensive backs when they have wide open wide receivers in the other side? Genuinely curious. I mean, I'm just saying, he made Damar Hamlin a thing again, and that interception was like nothing on Damar Hamlin. The only thing that Damar had to do was like catch the actual football, because the pick was just so atrocious that he had to Damar Hamlin that like the ball just went completely nowhere, and like was such a weird throw that only Damar was there to catch it, and he just needed to grab the ball, and that's what he did. And they absolutely ran out of town. I mean, even Doug Peterson, he came out and said that changes at the QB personnel could be considered. Like, he left the door open there.
Oh, God.
That reeks of desperation, but at the same time, like, damn, maybe. Could it be that Mac Jones could be the guy here?
Mac Jones. Wouldn't that be fucking crazy?
Same draft class. One of them gets $270 million. The other one gets traded out of their team. Goes back up the prodigal son. The prince that was promised, and just takes over the job from him because he's just shit. He might be the most overhyped guy, like, generational prospect. He played the first year, like, he looked absolutely like dog shit. No one really blamed him. The entirety of the blame went to Urban Meyer, which, by the way, did Urban Meyer screw Trevor Lawrence, or did Trevor Lawrence screw Urban Meyer? I'll leave it at that, I guess. Then he has 1 year in which he goes to the playoffs. He wins a playoff game. That is just like the most atrocious choke job that I've ever seen by a team in the playoffs, by the Chargers. Last year, I mean, absolutely terrible gameplay. Like, all around. People blame the injuries. People blame this or that. Again, all the excuses in the world. It's never him. And right now, like, he looks terrible. And the excuses is the team, and it's the OC, and it's the head coach. And it's... It should be... people are starting to putting some blame on him. But it should be more blame than they are currently giving it. This is the blame that he should have gotten, like, last year. That he didn't. If this keeps going south, again, he hasn't won a game since Thanksgiving. Just so you know. We spoke about this already. The one win that the Jags have since Thanksgiving came when he was hurt, if I'm not mistaken. So he missed that game. They won the game. He hasn't won a game since November of last year. The end of November, Thanksgiving. That's when he got the win. If this keeps going south, let's say now this week they face the Texans. I feel like they probably lose to the Texans. After that, who do they face after that? Just so you know, like, how long this can keep going on without someone getting fired, without him getting benched. Because I didn't think, like, for example, Bryce Young would get benched, but here we are. Then next week they face the Colts. And then after that, they face... They face the Bears.
They can beat the Bears, too.
Can they?
Yes!
I don't know if they can beat the Bears' defense. And I'm not sure if the defense is good enough to stop the Bears. Which is saying something, again. They are also... They will be out of... I think it's... Foye Luakon. I believe he's going to miss, like, a few weeks right now, the starting inside linebacker that they have. So the defense wasn't looking great already. Now they're losing key pieces to that defense. The offense still looks atrocious. This feels like a train wreck incoming.
Train wrecking. Do you think they get the number one? Do you think they got a shot at the number one overall pick?
They are one of what? They are one of two, three. So there's three on 0-3 teams, if I'm not mistaken. Or am I missing someone? Is it three on 0-3? One.
NFL standings.
Yeah, there's only three 0-3 teams. It's them, it's the Titans, and it's the Bengals. That's it. I don't think so. I still think that what we saw from the Panthers was more of like a boost that they got out of their like the QB change. Just getting the boosted motivation, just facing a team that was caught slipping and they got the win. So I still think the Panthers are probably worse than them. I still think the Titans are probably... I don't want to say that because their defense is better than the Jags' defense. And I'm sure that the offense is maybe a tad more capable right now. So, not really. But I don't know, dude. I'm looking at these teams. Maybe the Patriots can finish ahead of them for the number one overall pick. The Dolphins, the Dolphins, even with the back of QB. The Browns, I guess.
The Jaguars The Jaguars and the Raiders are the only teams in the AFC that have given up more points than the Bengals. God damn it.
Giving up 47 points will do that to you in the Jags case.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for the Bills. The offense still keeps looking good. Like, this is most definitely not a retool year. They look good in general. Like, the offense looks solid. They move the ball. They don't really get stuffed often on like three and outs. The run game is solid. They are playing like that wide receiver by rotation. It does feel like Khalil Shakir is the number one right now. I wouldn't be surprised that by the end of the season, that's not the case. But actually, like, the guy that played the most snaps was Marquez Valdes-Scantling, which is quite surprising. I watched the entirety of the game, and I could have sworn I didn't see him get a catch. But him and Mac Hollins were actually, like, the one and two in terms of snaps played. And then it was Khalil Shakir at three. But Shakir clearly looks like the guy that Allen trusts the most right now, so... For like fantasy, if you drafted them super late, you could have gotten them like in the teens right now. I think you got a good head there because I still think he's going to produce the entirety of the season. You could see like Keon Coleman, who got a touchdown this week, maybe improve a bit more and get more involved as the season goes on. But still, I still think it's Khalil Shakir is the guy that Allen has a repertoire with from last season at the wide receiver position. So. The offense looks good. It looks like the only team that could have a chance at beating the Chiefs right now. And we know how that goes usually in the playoffs, so I'm not optimistic about it.
Yeah, sure.
And you look at the wins that they got, like the Bills. I got into this today, which was like basically... People were shitting on the wins that the Chiefs got because the Bengals, still 0-3, at times look good, but the defense looks iffy right now. Then they faced the Ravens, who basically blew that game because they really can't hold on to a lead. And they looked subpar for the most of it. But other than that, it looks like the defense has issues in week 2 and 3. We saw that at the week. The defense has issues. The O-line has issues right now. And then the other team that they beat were the Falcons, which jury's still out on them, I guess. Yeah. But, like, the wins that the Buffalo Bills got, I mean, I don't think it's any better. They beat the Jags this week. They beat the Dolphins without Tua for half a game, I guess, last week, in week 2, that is. And on week 1, they beat the Cardinals, which, okay, they look solid, but it's probably like a fringe playoff team right now at this stage, so I don't think their wins are any better than the Chiefs, and we know how the Chiefs Buffalo Bills matchup goes, and I would be surprised if the Chiefs don't have home field advantage towards through the playoffs, so
yeah, I'd be surprised if that too.
Are we doomed? Is it gonna be a tribute for the Chiefs 3 weeks in, what do you say?
Unless the Bengals get their shit together.
If our only hope of the Chiefs three-peating, not three-peating that is a team that is 0-3 right now.
The Dolphins lost Tua. The Bills are like kissed by the devil, it seems like, against the Chiefs. The Texans? You want to put your faith in the Texans?
No, most definitely not. That is not the team that I would put any faith on.
The Ravens seem to have as much bad juju against the Chiefs as the Bills do. You want to put your faith in the Steelers?
God, no.
So what's the team in the AFC you think can beat the Chiefs, Alex? Or do you think the only hope is the NFC?
That's quite the thing. I'm looking at the AFC. Maybe, just maybe, if they play like they did Thursday Night Football, the Jets, maybe. And that's a very, like, very stretched maybe. Because other than that...
offense, basically.
Yeah, their offense is just like run the ball 40 times. And if you're down, you just keep running the ball. Eventually something will come off, which never really did.
Yeah, no, Pittsburgh. Your hope is in the NFC. The Bengals are literally the only team in the AFC that has any kind of history of success against Kansas City.
Yeah, I would say them and then like try your luck with the Jets. But like it's still the Jets at the end of the day. And yeah. They are like the Dallas Cowboys. Of the AFC. Whatever can go wrong with them will, like Stephen A. Smith used to say. But even in the NFC, I mean,
The 49ers seem to have fallen off. They've gotten tired.
Everyone is dead on the 49ers. Like, everyone is injured. Everyone is out of it right now. So the Cowboys Eagles, fuck no, like dude.
One of the worst teams. Yeah, it would be the Eagles.
Now, even the Eagles, like, I can't trust the Eagles right now. The Eagles lose one goddamn offensive player. Like, I've never seen a team being more aligned on one offensive player than the Eagles are on A.J. Brown. It's like they lose A.J. Brown and the whole offense goes to shit. Like,
you know, the team in the NFC I would put my faith in.
There's one team that I would put some sort of faith on 3 weeks in. Or two, I guess. But which team would you put your faith on?
The Detroit Lions.
I can't, dude, because I'm looking at it, and this Lions team sort of feels off to me. Feels like, I don't know, in week two versus Tampa Bay, they outgained Tampa Bay Buccaneers by like 250 yards. They still couldn't score touchdowns. Versus the...
they were one of the most... They'll figure out the offense, I'm talking.
Last year they were, but like this year, something feels off. Like, they beat the Cardinals, sure, but like the Cardinals had every chance to get into that game. They had one pick six that was erased that would have given like 7 points to the Cardinals there. And they, I don't know, the team really feels off right now. Feels like Goff is making more mistakes than he did last season. Feels like the defense is still an issue for them right now. There's two teams that I'm tempted to put some faith into. And one of them you don't really won't like.
Don't you dare say it.
One of them is like the best defense in the NFL. And it's like, it's the Vikings.
I'm gone.
I mean, they have the defense. The offense is playing well as well. Like, what do you want me to say? Like, the run game is on point. The receiving game is on point. Darnold isn't really making all that many mistakes. The defense is deadly again. And the other team is probably the Packers. Because, I mean, I'm seeing from this Packers team some maturity. I mean, they lost their starting QB and they went 2-0. They managed to run an offense with a guy that got into the building, like, I don't know, 4 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago. They're running a decent offense with Malik Willis that not really anyone expected anything from. So I think those teams have shown something in the NFC. I think they're the only two teams that I can point to and say that they've shown something in the NFC. Hey, no injuries. Solid to good defenses and consistency on offense.
Are we done talking about the Vikings?
Hey, just saying. Hey. Those three factors, like good offense, no injuries, takes out the Niners. That beats the Niners. Niners are riddled with injuries. I could see CMC missing the year right now. Injuries to Debo, injuries to Kittle. They're riddled with injuries. Good defense, which immediately rolls out the Eagles, because the Eagles' defense is Jesus Christ. And consistency, which the Detroit Lions aren't really showing so far. I don't know. I feel like those teams are solid.
But anyway, who is the team other than the Vikings?
Oh, it's the Packers. It's the Packers and the Vikings.
Oh, the Packers. Packers with Jordan Love, yeah. I could see that. They could get hot enough and just ramroll the Chiefs, and I don't think even Patrick Mahomes could come back against a Packers team that's rolling. That's fair.
They're running a decent offense with the QB that people thought were, and I thought was the worst in the NFL, and Malik Willis, a guy that got in, like, I don't know, 3-4 weeks ago into the building, learned the offense. And they're running a competing offense.
Will Levis, and you're like, he can't be that good.
Yeah. Because if you lose your job to Will Levis, you really can't be all that good. I'll tell you that much. But yeah, I think that's the recap for Thursday Night Football. I think we should look at our results right now. Do you have anything else to add? I mean, we talked about the other games prior, so we're not going to go too deep into the rest of the games since we're kind of on a tight schedule right now. Did you have anything else to add on Thursday Night Football?
No, let's get into the bets, really. I know we're on a pretty
good schedule. Okay, so on the bets, last week you went, so there's what?
I wasn't joking. I am initiating Rule 35 Alex Rule whenever I can.
So you went 6-10. I went 5-11. Yeah, so not great numbers. But in the mineral picks, you went 0-3. I went 0-2. So I won the Washington Commanders pick. That's it. So I've now won two bronze picks, and I've won one silver pick, and you have won one gold pick so far. So that's basically it. In the mineral section, on games that we both picked the same. We picked the same side on how many? 1, 2, 8, 3. Was it 8 this week?
It was 7 or 8.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. We picked the same side on 9. We got 2 wins. So 2-7. Good stuff. Good stuff. On the bright side, it seems like most people lost this week. From what I've seen across the internet, it seems like most betting channels and betting personalities lost this week pretty heavily. So we are at least on par with them. That brings the overall total of the year right now. You are 21-27. I am 18-30 right now. So I'm chasing you by 3. Which, compared to last year, I believe it's an improvement.
Yeah, I won't be for long.
Okay. Week 4, then. Week 4 rolls around. And we got Thursday Night Football. Thursday Night Football. It's the Dallas Cowboys at the New York Football Giants. The Giants are 4.5-point underdogs. Oh, Jesus Christ, favorites. The over-under on that game is 45.5. ATS, Giants are 1-2. Cowboys are 1-2 as well. The line has moved. Again, the line is now 5.5. I got 4.5 here on the app. Yep. I think I'm going to keep the 4.5, and I'm taking the Giants plus 4.5 right now.
Okay.
Just think that they might be a better team than the Dallas Cowboys. And this is definitely a game that if we, after the game starts, like 5 minutes in, I'm like, this was the stupidest pick on the board. This was like the easiest layup ever, was just picking the Cowboys. Because the Cowboys usually destroy these teams, like the Giants, the Washington Commanders, especially on this primetime spot. It usually goes very wrong for them. But I have this feeling that this Giant team isn't terrible, dude. So just taking Giants plus 4.5.
Alex, kiss of death, I'm going Dallas. I actually wanted to take the Giants. Full disclosure, I definitely wanted to take the Giants. But I think one of two scenarios are about to happen with the Dallas Cowboys. Scenario one is they absolutely, because I don't know if you know this, but there is definitely, the Cowboys players are not happy. Just looking at their body language, watching the way they play, they're not happy. So one of two things is about to happen. One, they are about to absolutely demolish the Giants. Like, this is not going to be a close game from kickoff, basically. Or number two, they're about to implode in impressive fashion, and we're about to see, like, months worth of drama folded in the matter of a week.
I kind of think it's the second one. And question for you. If the Giants, if the Cowboys lose, is Mike McCarthy fired?
I don't know, because Jerry Jones doesn't have a history of firing his second sons, aka his head coaches, very often. But
I mean, you know,
if there was a case to be made, McCarthy has a very good case to be fired.
But you know who is available that usually isn't?
Someone who's in the Fox commentary booth?
Is he on the Fox commentary booth?
I'm not sure if he's in the Fox, but I've seen him do, like, sports shows. Bill Belichick?
Yeah, Bill Belichick. He is with Pat Mayo, I believe. Pat McAfee.
Pat McAfee, yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. Is Bill Belichick the coach on, like, Sunday even?
I think if they're going to fire McCarthy, they would have to have Bill Belichick in tow already. Like, they'd have to have, like, some kind of verbal agreement that, like, hey, if we let go of this guy, you want to come out? Something like that, you know?
I would guess that if you press 2 on Jerry Jones' phone right now, it speed dials to Bill Belichick. So, I think it's just waiting for Thursday Night Football to be done. And if the Cowboys lose, he's pressing that 2 button very fast.
Okay. So the first Sunday night game listed, Saints versus Falcons. The Falcons are actually favored by 1.5. So I'll take my goddamn points, giving my Saints, unless you're about to curse them.
Tricky game from here.
Oh, no.
The Saints have some injuries right now.
Yep.
I believe they got, like, a slew of injuries. I believe even Kamara right now is questionable. But I do like the Saints' defense quite a bit. I think their defense has been solid throughout, and I don't think it's something that will vary all that much. I think it's something that you can actually trust with the Saints team, is that they actually have a good defense. While the offense, I really can't buy it all that much. I feel like the defense is probably something that I can buy on this team. But the Falcons actually have a very good secondary as well. It's just not as a complete of a defense, because the run game and the linebackers, so the front 7 in general, is lacking a bit, in my opinion, and hasn't looked stout. But the Saints without Alvin Kamara, these are the guys that haven't been practicing today, I believe. It's Kamara, it's Cesar Ruiz, it's McCoy, it's Alante Taylor, if I'm not mistaken, and Demario Davis.
Yep.
So those could be some important casualties here. All of that said, I still think I'm going to take the Saints plus 1.5. I'm going with the Saints, yeah.
Fuck.
Okay, next up.
It's a death. Rule 35, I'm with the Falcons now.
No, you can't. You've picked.
No, it's okay, Rule 35. I reserve the right to change my pick after knowing what Alex is doing.
Oh, my God.
After the Alex kiss of death.
Okay, so have you actually switched?
Yes.
Okay, so just for you to keep your pick. It would be insane to go
with you.
Or maybe it would be insane to go with you. Thursday Night Football. I'm the one who went 2-0. Just so you know.
Okay.
But I'll actually go with the Falcons then. You can keep your Saints pick.
My God!
I was flip-flopping. I'll go with the Falcons. Okay. Next game, Cincinnati Bengals at the Carolina Panthers. The 0-3 Cincinnati Bengals going to a team that has won actually a game. So you've Andy now Dalton. Andy Dalton revenge game. Bengals in our app are 5.5 point favorites. That line has dropped quite a bit because of Monday Night Football. It's now -4. So there's definitely some value there.
Okay.
All of that said, though, I think this is a game in which people will be high on the Panthers because of the win, because they saw the offense moving good with Andy Dalton. I think they will put all of the blame on Bryce Young, and I'm still not entirely certain if that's it. And I think they'll completely fade the Bengals now. The Bengals allowing what, nearly 300 yards passing to a rookie QB who hasn't had a 200-yard game, I think, or like over that. I think people will want out of the Bengals, and I think this is the prime bounce-back spot for the Bengals. So give me the Bengals minus 5.5.
Give me the Panthers.
You're really on everything I pick. Okay.
Yes! You would be insane to go with you.
We'll see. We'll see how that goes.
The Rams versus the Bears. The Bears are favored by 3.5 points. The Rams are basically starting a college football team against the Bears. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the Rams actually are the team that have given up the most points a game. Oh, no, there's a worse team. Oh, okay. But regardless, I think that if Caleb is going to show some shine, it's going to be in this game. So I'm going with the Bears.
Kind of with you. Not wanting you to flip-flop or anything. But I'm with you. I think this is the line.
One if you go with the Bears.
Okay.
You can go with the Bears, man. It's okay.
I think this is a weird line because when I looked at it the first and when I was trying to figure out the lines, I definitely expected the Rams to be favorite because the Rams just come off a big divisional win versus the Niners. The Bears' offense looked shaky on a primetime game versus the Texans on week 2. And now this week, again, a lot of the offense looked a bit better, but a lot of mistakes still happening, and the run game was really terrible still. So I expected the Rams to be favorite, and it's quite a kind of a weird line here. They're basically telling you that these teams are similar. And when I don't understand the line, I really want to go with the favorite at this point. So just give me the Bears minus 3.5.
It's on you, buddy.
Next up, then. It's the Minnesota Vikings at the Green Bay Packers. The Packers are 2.5-point favorites. This is a game that I'm still expecting. I don't think so. Do you think they're expecting Jordan Love back?
You're telling me the Packers are a favorite team with... Get out of here.
With 2-0 Malik Willis.
Yes, get out of here. In the stats, it even says key players, Jordan Love. I'm just saying. Where?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I think they're projecting this to be a Jordan Love game. Whether you agree with that or not, I think that's where the line comes from. There's no way. You cannot convince me that Malik Willis has this line. Projection Malik Willis has no. I don't believe you.
Okay. If that's the case, then I'm going to take the Minnesota Vikings plus 2.5 simply because I do not think that Love will be back. I don't think it's wise for Love to be back. I know it's a big divisional game. It's an important game, sure. But it's more important the games in December right now than this game. And them being 2-0 with Malik Willis gives them a bit more of a leash here in terms of like how long they can keep Jordan Love out. And I think this is a game in which they can keep him out. Because if they go 2-2, that's still okay. So I'm going...
They can afford to lose this game.
Yeah, basically. I think so. So give me the Vikings plus 2.5.
Give me the Packers. I'm going to continue to hate on the Vikings.
Hey, yeah, at some point you need to stop unless they like turn back to a pumpkin because this looks like a Cinderella.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God. Do me a favor before I even make any comments on this. This is Jacksonville Jaguars versus Houston Texans. The Texans are favored by 4.5. Just out of curiosity, what is the line sitting at right now?
The line right now has shifted from the Texans minus 4.5 to the Texans minus 6.5.
Yeah, okay. I thought something like that was about to happen. I'm not going to lie, my guess was going to be 7. You know what? I know you're going with the Texans because you can't pay Alex enough to go with the Jaguars. So give me the goddamn Jaguars.
Yeah. If the line was 6.5 in this spot versus a team that I think it's not as good as people are putting them out to be, I would have taken the Jaguars. But purely because of how much the line has shifted and how good of a value this is, I'm going to go with the Texans, yeah. I mean, at 4.5, I still think they're the better team than Jacksonville. I still think being a divisional game, it will be close. But I think the team is good enough to put, like, over 5 points on them, so. Okay, next up, it's the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Indianapolis Colts. The Steelers are 1.5-point favorites. Yeah, it is. Like,
oh, hey, look, Anthony really... Richardson has twice as many interceptions as he does touchdowns. That's weird.
Okay. Okay. This is a game that I'm a bit torn on right now. Because I think I'm going to go with what I said previously. Back on week 2 when we were picking this, I said, I will pick the best unit on the field in the Steelers game until I'm proven wrong. And on week 3, I failed on that because the best unit on the Chargers and the Steelers game was the Steelers defense, and I didn't pick the Steelers to cover that game. Now, I think I got a bit unlucky with the Herbert injury, but still, all of this to say that I think I'm going to go with the Steelers minus 1.5.
Herbert plays that whole game.
Yeah, but I mean, it went south, and the game was tied, if I'm not mistaken, for the majority of the time that Herbert was in. So,
yeah.
But I'm going to go with the Steelers minus 1.5. I think the Steelers defense is still the best unit on this game, so I'm just going to go with them.
Give me the Colts.
You flipped to the dark side. You're now on the Anthony Richardson side right now.
No, I'm on the anti-Alex side.
It doesn't matter who's playing. You just want to be on the opposite side of me.
That's the right side to be! What are you?
We'll see.
Hold on. What are you? No. Answer the fucking question. We did this 2 straight weeks legitimately. What are you? What is your record? Where can I see this?
If you go on the app that we're using and you go on the pool side and you click on my name, it shows the record. But I told you the record.
30. You are 18-30, Alex!
What are you?
21-27, and that's withstanding my losses by agreeing with you on like 16 fucking games. No more. I'm not handing myself any unnecessary losses.
Are you sure it's not the other way around?
I am positive.
Okay, if you say so. I guess we'll see. Okay, you're up next.
So now, interesting. So now we have the Broncos at the Jets, and the Jets are favored by 7.5 points. I do think 7.5 points is too much. I am going to go with the Broncos plus 7.5. But
I kind of think you are right. Or at least I thought at the beginning of the week. Because again, I mean, it's 39.5 points, the over-under. It's not at all that high. And 7.5 points in this total. It's quite tempting. But at the same time, I think... There's two narratives here. There's the first narrative that the Denver Broncos looked quite good versus Tampa Bay. And maybe it was just that Sean Payton needed a few games to install a good offense around Bo Nix and for Bo Nix to learn this type of offense. So it took a bit, and now they are there, and they're going to play great. There's another theory that maybe the Tampa Bay Buccaneers just got a bit overinflated. Because, I mean, again, they got outgained by 250-something yards versus the Lions on week 2. Should have lost that game. They didn't. They won that game. fair and square. First win of the year was also like versus a very shitty team, if I'm not mistaken. I think 7.5 is a whole lot. 6.5, I probably go with the Jets. But at 7.5, I think I'm going to go with the Denver Broncos. Okay, Philadelphia Eagles at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Both teams are 2-1 right now.
And you hate both of them.
And I'm not the biggest fan of both of them, yeah. I think that's fair to say right now. Their ATS record right now. I was trying to find the game here. Okay, here it is. The Eagles are 2-1 ATS. The Buccaneers are 2-1 ATS. I kind of want to go with the points here because I think both teams are quite fraudulent, but the Eagles are going to be without A.J. Brown still, I believe. They're going to be without Devonta Smith, I believe, as well. So if you take A.J. Brown and they look that wild on the field and they look that bad on the field, if you take Devonta Smith as well, and now you leave Goddard and like Johnny Wilson and Jahan Dotson as their wide receivers alongside Goddard, I think you are going to be in a world of trouble. So I think I'm going to go with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers plus 2.5.
Give me the Eagles.
Okay.
What now?
You're up.
This is quick. Commanders at Cardinals. Cardinals are favored by 4.5 points. Give me the Commanders.
It's that easy, right? I looked at this pick, and it's the easiest
one
for
me. Are you thinking about it?
Not really, especially after I looked at the line, and we're getting like a whole point out of here versus what the line currently is right now.
What, yeah, it's plus 3?
It's
for the Cardinals?
No, it's plus 3.5 for the Commanders right now. So now we're getting here like 4.5. But yeah, it's flipping towards the Commanders. I mean, it should be expected after the Thursday night, the Monday night football game. So I think it makes sense. I think the Washington Commanders are probably the side here. But this could be a massive letdown spot. Let's be honest to the Commanders. Like, they come off a huge win for them. They're 2-1 right now, which is tied for the division lead, by the way, with the Eagles still. But a major spot in which they play their asses off. They're on short rest versus Arizona. I could definitely see them just having a bad game here versus the Cardinals. They're still a young team, so I could see that happening. But like right now, it's hard for me to go against that. So Commanders plus 4.5. Ooh. Jeez Louise, this game. Okay. It is the New England Patriots at the San Francisco 49ers. Both teams are 1-2, surprisingly enough. The Patriots are 1-1-1 ATS, and the Niners are 1-2 ATS. The Niners are still without Debo, are still without CMC. Apparently, CMC is going to like Germany to meet some doctor to try and figure out if his injuries can be solved or not. I don't know. That feels quite weird right now. I don't know, like, if he's even coming back this year. So over under is 40.5, with the Patriots being 10.5 point underdogs. The entirety of Thursday night football, I sat there and I said to myself, this was a prime Patriots letdown spot versus the Jets. Short rest for the Patriots again. Going to the Jets, this feels like a game they could get hammered in, and like the books will overreact for a team that has actually very good defense from all we've seen so far. And I think that's exactly what happened. I mean, the Niners are still riddled with injuries. They blew a game versus the Rams that they had no issue, that they had no business just completely blowing up. They looked iffy versus the Vikings. It was probably the worst game that Brock Purdy ever played. I think this defense could give them issues. I don't know if the ball will move all that much from the Patriots side, but at 10.5 points, I feel like I don't need much for them to cover. I could see this game being like 17-9, 17-10, something like that for the Niners. So I'm going to go with the Patriots plus 10.5. It's a whole lot of points for a team that is as riddled with injuries as the Niners.
I'm going to go with the Niners.
Yes, complete fading. I like it. Okay. We'll see how it goes.
Oh, my God. The stoppable force versus the movable object. Jesus. Cleveland faces the Raiders in Las Vegas. Cleveland is currently favored by 1.5. God. I'll go Cleveland. Hey. I don't know why. I'm putting my frustration to Sean.
The current line, just so you know how much this flipped, the current line is Las Vegas -2.
It flipped a half point.
No.
Like -2?
It's -2. So it flipped over 3 points, just so you know. That's how much people are starting to fade them. And yeah, this is the second lowest over under on the week. It's 37, and I said second lowest. So you can imagine there's a dandy down there that we're going to have to endure on Monday Night Football. That's not going to be pretty. But yeah, I mean, with how much the line has flipped and all of that, like, I would have taken them at the current line of -2. I'm taking them surely at +1.5. Give me the Raiders +1.5. I think this team will be motivated by Antonio Pierce right now after his comments. Yeah, he's a guy that can galvanize people. I think the Browns are really just, I don't know. I don't even know if the defense is as good as people think they are. I know the offense is terrible. There's a lot of unknowns on this team. So I'm going to go with the Las Vegas Raiders.
Be fair, you can't tell if the defense is as good as it is because the offense is so terrible. It's kind of unfair to judge them when they don't have a whole half side of the football that's played.
True, but last year, like when they had Watson, they also struggled on offense, and the defense still looked somewhat good, even with Watson. And now this year, it looks rough. And again, we spoke about how hard it is for defenses to carry over year to year. And the Browns were like one of the best that we can remember. It was a very great unit in terms of like historic numbers in general last year. So it seems like there's definitely a drop-off. And the offense definitely doesn't have any sort of upgrade here. So just going to go with the Raiders.
Okay,
next up, the Kansas City Chiefs at the Los Angeles Chargers. The Chiefs are 7.5 point favorites. I don't think that Herbert is going to play.
Herbert is not going to play?
I don't know. I'm reading a quote right now. I believe they have a week 5 bye, if I'm not mistaken. So they are on bye after the game versus the Chiefs. The smart thing would be definitely to sit Herbert for this game, I would think. But Herbert just said today that regarding resting versus the Chiefs and coming back after the bye, he said that I don't think that's the way that we're heading. And he said that he would do everything that he can do to play this week versus the Chiefs. So I don't know. Even if he's playing, I think he's going to be limited enough to the point in which I think the Chiefs have this. It's a big number, though, and Chiefs versus big numbers usually doesn't go all that well. But I think this line will flip if he doesn't play, and I think Harbaugh should do the right thing and sit him. So I'm going to go with KC -7.5, and it's probably the pick that I like the least.
All right, give me the Chargers.
I think you definitely could be right on this one. It's the pick that I like the least of the bunch.
All right. Next one. Yeah, this ain't a debate either. Buffalo versus Baltimore. Baltimore is favored by 2.5 points. Give me Buffalo. Give me the points.
Again, another line I really don't understand. One team is 0-3. It's 1-2. The other team is 3-0. Off of three solid performances, I guess, all around. But it's just the quality of the victories, I guess, as we spoke before. If this line was 3.5, I probably take the Bills because I really don't trust the Ravens to cover any number over 2.5. But at 2.5, I think they have a chance here versus the Bills. I think, although the Bills have looked good, I think they're a bit overinflated here. I think this could be a prime letdown spot after a game then in which they just completely rolled over the Jaguars. And I think this is a spot very similar to what we had last week with the Ravens. On week two versus the Raiders. In the Raiders game. In which the Raiders went in there. They beat the Ravens. Surprise win. Just that people really weren't expecting that performance from the Raiders in general. And then they go versus the Carolina Panthers. And it's a massive letdown. I think the Bills could have that massive letdown here. So I'm going to go with the Ravens. I think the Ravens win this game. So give me the Ravens -2.5.
Alrighty.
Okay, two games left, and it's another Monday Night Football doubleheader. We have the Tennessee Titans at the Miami Dolphins. This is the game with the lowest over-under on the entirety of the week. It's 36.5 points, which is just shockingly bad. The Miami Dolphins are 1.5-point underdogs versus the Tennessee Titans. I really don't know who's playing QB for the Miami Dolphins right now. I think it's Tyler Huntley, Pro Bowl Tyler Huntley. But I really don't know right now. Could be that Skylar Thompson is back. Tennessee Titans defense looks good. But I really need to stop trusting Will Levis on anything that implies that he needs to cover some amount of points. So I think I'm just going to go with the Miami Dolphins +1.5.
Give me the Titans!
Okay.
Titans. Oh, fuck this. Seahawks versus Lions. Lions are favored by 4.5. I'm picking the Lions. Go ahead, Glazer. Seahawks some more.
I mean, hey, the line has moved a bit. It's now only 3.5 points. So I'm getting an extra point here to pick my Seattle Seahawks. Again, inconsistencies from the Lions sort of give me some confidence here. I think the Seattle Seahawks even win this game probably outright. I think their offense can move the football, but I think our defense is quite solid as well. I'm hoping that Kenneth Walker, with the extra rest and whatnot, he can come back this year. I believe last season he missed only 2 games with the oblique injury, which will be basically the same here. It's 2 weeks, and now he's getting the extra rest because it's a longer week. We now play on Thursday on Monday Night Football. So I'm expecting us to have Kenneth Walker back. The offenses should run at full power. The defense has looked good. I don't know. I really don't trust this Lions team, especially when they need to cover any sort of like over a field goal game. So I expect us to win the game, but if we don't, I think it's going to be a field goal game. So give me the Seahawks +4.5 here. And to wrap,
gave your own team the Alex Kiss of Death. Let's go.
Hey.
Okay.
Let's see how that goes. Okay, we're only missing 2 things now. We're missing the element picks, and I need to tally up how many games we are on the same side. So for the elements, the minerals, that is.
Two.
What did you say? Didn't get it.
I said it's 2.
It's only 2 games?
Yeah, it's the Commanders and the Bears.
Okay. Got it.
Unless Commanders you pick the Broncos. Bears. I think you picked the Jets, though.
No, I picked the Broncos.
Okay, so that's three. That's the third one.
Three. Okay.
And I know I went against you on every single one on your side.
Same side on three. Really? Against every single one of them? Yeah, I guess so.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, you did. Okay, so we're on the same side on three. Let's see how this goes this week. One of us is going to have a good week, for sure. The other one is probably not going to have that great of a week, I would imagine. But we'll see how it goes. And for the element picks.
Gold,
Saints. Jeez, I keep saying elements. Jesus Christ, dude. The minerals. Okay. The Saints, it is plus what? Is it plus?
One and a half.
Minus. Plus 1.5, plus okay. One.
Okay,
silver pick.
Cowboys minus 4.5.
Okay, and bronze pick.
Bears minus 3.5.
Chi-town. Okay, for me, the bronze pick. Actually, I'll start with the gold one as well. Since you are so weak,
actually,
you get
I should
the best
have put
one.
The Commanders on there, but oh well, that's the gimme.
It feels like the tricky one, though. I'm not gonna lie. For gold, I think I'm gonna do for gold. I'm gonna go with Tampa Bay plus 2.5 here for me. Then for silver, I'm going to go with the Washington Commanders plus 4.5. Just going to risk it. And for the bronze pick, I am going to go with the Cincinnati Bengals minus 5.5. So if I'm cursing my team, I'm cursing yours as well, just so you know.
I know you didn't. I know you already cursed my team. It's all good.
Okay. Anything else to add?
Nope. You need to get out of here, so get the outro.
We got it done in an hour. I'm surprised. We actually did it. Okay. As always, guys, thank you for sticking around this long. If you did, please drop us a comment if you're listening on the Spotify app, if you're listening on the Apple Podcast app, wherever you listen to your podcast, leave us a comment, leave us a 5-star review as well, and turn on the auto downloads. Really helps out the show, and it's free. So, perfect. For both of us. And if you're listening on the YouTube, just make sure to do all of the things that you usually do on YouTube. Like, subscribe, all of that. And as always, guys, see you next week. Enjoy week 4 of football and enjoy Thursday night football. You should be watching that like 10 hours after this comes out, or 12. So enjoy that. Hope you have a great weekend. Have a great luck on your fantasy football teams. And yeah, talk to you guys next week.
See you guys.